We know we are in the time of Christmas season and celebration, and some of you already have your Christmas shopping done, right? All of you? Because, you know, it's like, people respond to Christmas so differently. For some people, Christmas is a time of joy and celebration, a family get together, baking goods, sharing gifts, lights, glamour. I mean, all that type. That's what people associate with Christmas. For other people, Christmas can be a time of sadness because they remember that they just lost a loved one during this time. And now that person, perhaps it's the first time they're going to spend Christmas without that loved one because he or she is gone. And so they might have this idea like, I don't want Christmas to get here because that's what I'm going to be reminded of. You know, for some people, Christmas, they hate it because for them it's just commercialized and it's just like shopping. And I don't want to go to the store and be in this line, you know, or even the traffic. You see that driving around Christmas season, like there's a lot of traffic jams all over the place. The brother's testifying there because he knows what I'm talking about. And it's like, seriously, it's like, I mean, that's what it's like. Oh, I don't want Christmas because, you know, I got to go shopping. I got to do these things. If I don't do these things, I don't get in the spirit of Christmas. You know, and I feel sad for people like that. They think that to be in the spirit of Christmas, they have to have the lights and the trees and the gifts. If they don't have those things, then Christmas never comes. I mean, people respond to Christmas so many different ways. Like I said, some really have a tough time focusing on what the celebration of Christmas is all about. I mean, why do we even have Christmas? What is that about? You know, for some of us Christian people, we have a tough time trying to keep Jesus the center of our Christmas celebration. Perhaps you've been there, you know, you see the bumper sticker, keep Christ in Christmas, because we have kicked him out. You know, sometimes we make it, I mean, supposedly Christmas is to be about the birth of Jesus, but we make it about somebody else. If it's my birthday, I want people to say happy birthday to me, right? I mean, if it's your birthday, wouldn't you want to be honoring that birthday? So sometimes, like, if it's supposed to be about Christmas and Christ, we should at least honor him, right? Amen? So it's a time, like I said, Christians, we have to struggle to really keep him in our celebration, that we realize that it's not about the baking cookies and all the, I mean, yeah, that's good. The cookies are good and delicious. But, you know, it's about Jesus. It's not about the lights and things. You will have Christmas whether you have a tree or not. You know, you still can have a nice Christmas celebration because make it more about the family, the get together with everybody else. That's what it should be about, right? But, you know, we live in a society, we're being so commercialized, and it's like we go with the flow sometimes, and we tend to neglect and forget the main purpose. People tend to respond to Christmas so differently. Last week, if you were here or if you were following us on Facebook, we talked about how the advent of Christmas, the announcement of the birth of Jesus, came to a virgin named Mary. And how she responded, the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are favored by God." And she was like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, what does that greeting mean? It's like, you have found favor with God, and you will have a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And he will be great, and the Father God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever. Imagine you were that young woman, so all the information the angel is giving you, it's like, what are you talking? You know, but you will be with a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And how did Mary respond to all that? At the end, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. Do to me whatever you want." So she placed herself at the Lord's disposal. She said, I'm saying yes to God's will, even though I could have gotten in trouble with all this information you're giving me. Remember, we talked about Joseph. When Mary told Joseph about what the angel said, and yeah, I'm going to have a son. And then when Mary was pregnant, Joseph was ready to leave her. But the angel showed up, and Joseph also responded. He chose to take Mary home, not to abandon her. You see, people respond differently. That was just the announcement of the birth of Jesus and just all these things going on. And then later on in the Gospel of Luke, we talk about how Jesus is born. When we talk about the whole Christmas nativity, the birth of Jesus, we got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only two of those Gospels will tell you how Jesus was born, Matthew and Luke. John doesn't go into details. Mark doesn't go into there. But we're going to be looking at the account from Luke's perspective. Luke, I like Luke because he was what you might call a professional. He was a physician. So, you know, he would do the research. He would investigate, make sure that, you know, he was a doctor. back in the first century. So, you know, you're getting the doctor's perspective about what was going on. That's why any miracle that Luke would tell you, he will give you kind of the doctor point of view based on that miracle. So in the Gospel of Luke, you got your Bibles in Luke chapter 2. A news that came to all, to a whole bunch of shepherds in the field. Luke chapter 2, if you already found it, say amen. Okay. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through following. And I'm reading from the NIV. So God chose to reveal this news of the Savior to shepherds in a field. And usually, you know, for some of us, parents, sometimes, you know, you've been raised in the Christian church, we try our best to read, at least to read the Christmas story. You know, like, you know, how Jesus was born. So our kids start getting that foundation that, you know, that 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to be born in a manger. And so here's the account, just in case you don't get a chance to read it, I'm going to read it for you today. Luke chapter 2, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had been, all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God chose to reveal this wonderful news to shepherds in the field. The angel is sent to Mary, an angel is sent to Joseph, and now angels are sent to shepherds in the field. Picture this scene, this scenery, because the shepherds, they're just minding their own business. They're taking care of some sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, an angel shows up and says, hey, I bring you good news. I mean, look at what he says. Like, do not be afraid. I mean, to me, I always got to say this. It's interesting. Every time an angel showed up, the first thing they would say, don't be afraid. What do you think that is? Because if an angel showed up to your house today, two things will happen. Good news or bad news. You did not know which one it was until the angel told you. So the moment you saw an angel, it's like, people's like, I might be in trouble now. So, you know, we have this idea of angels. Like, oh, they're so beautiful. You don't want an angel to show up because God just want to deal with you about something. The word angel means messenger. They're delivering a message, but you don't know what the message is about until the angel will tell you. So when he says, don't be afraid, woof, thank God. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people, the angel said to the shepherds. And then look what he says. What is this news? He said, today in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. The angel already told the shepherds, the deliverer, a rescuer, a hero, if you will, has been born to you. And what's his name? He is Christ the Lord. The word Christ is the Greek translation for the word Messiah. You know, the Jewish people call the Messiah. And you know, for many years, for more than 400 years before this happened, the Jewish people have been expecting a Messiah, a political leader that would come. But they did not know when. But the prophecy being saying that the Messiah will be born. And so finally, the angels finally come to the shepherd and say, I bring you great news. The greatest news ever. Your Messiah has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. Christ the Messiah has been born. Your Savior, you expect a Savior, is here now. My friends, I guarantee you that would have been the greatest news for the shepherd. The one we've been waiting for is here. I mean, wouldn't that be a great news when you're waiting for something and now finally you get that? When you're waiting for a promotion, when you get that, You're celebrating when you're waiting for that baby to be born and finally he or she is here. Boom. Wow, this is the greatest news. Whatever you've been waiting just got here, you're rejoicing. The angel was right. Said, I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people. Your Savior is being born today in this day in the town of David. And this will be a sign to you. I love this because he said, here's how you check this out. You want to know where the Savior is. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. At that moment, you already got to realize, okay, Bethlehem is not a big town. Bethlehem, by the way, means house of bread. So here's a sign to you. I told you the Savior is Christ the Lord, and this is how you find him. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Ask yourself, how many babies that day were born in a manger? So at that moment, you realize, if I only find that one, that got to be it. That's the one. So, you know, usually, how many babies in Bethlehem that day, when the shepherds will go to check it out, will be wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. You know, a manger is with animals. I mean, the Son of God, like, it boggles my mind, because why did he choose a place? Remember the story, there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. And the time for her to give birth came, and then they just found that little place. Animals, perhaps donkeys and cattle and sheep around for the Savior of the universe to be born in such condition. Smelly place, by the way. I mean, you go to the zoo and you have a little glimpse, you know, of what, you know, it's just like, imagine that. I mean, right there, you just the condition, like you got to do something and some cloths and just lie Jesus right there. That's what the angel said. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Go check it out. Like I said, how many babies that day were, you know, every nation has a census, and they say, how many babies are born today? As I'm speaking, a whole bunch of babies were born in this nation right now. And as I'm speaking, a lot of older babies died right now, too. There's a lot of people being born. There's a lot of people dying at the very moment that we're speaking. So the angel said, go check it out. He's lying on a manger wrapped in cloths. Go see him. And this will be a sign to you, he said. And then I love that how heaven and earth collided right here with a great company of the heavenly host. Suddenly, verse 13, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "In excelsis Theos, glory to God in the highest." Amazing, the angel activities that you see in the text right here. One delivered the message. Now a choir from heaven comes down because this news is so great. I mean, think about it. Your deliverer, your savior, your hero. I love movies that have a hero. You know, it's like he's here to save you, to rescue you. And that's a time of celebration. And now they come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom he favor rests. Some translation would say peace to men with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, in excelsis Theos. That's what we sing in Latin. Heaven and earth coming together as one. Out of scenery for the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Then he says, when the angels left, I mean, yeah, their job is done. They announced the birth of a Savior. They gave you the greatest news of all time. A news that's going to be of great joy for all the people. They announced it. They sang a choir of angels. And, you know, we have some of those angels, Hark the Herald Angels Singing. That's angels singing, you know, in Christmas, some of the Christmas songs that we have. They're done with their job. They announced it. It's almost like I placed the news right here. It's up to you whether you want to believe it or not. Go check it out. I told you how the baby's going to be found. And they left. And now the shepherds, it says right here in the text, they asked to one another. They asked to one another, it says, when the angels left him, and going into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made us aware of. Let us go check out the veracity of that news. Let us go to investigate, to make sure what the angel says is true. You know, and I want to challenge all of us. I mean, sometimes when you might have doubts about Christianity or whatever, do like the shepherds do. Say, let us go check it out. You know, don't believe what I'm telling you. Just check it out. There's evidence out there. So let me just... He said, let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing. And you can tell they were not too far away from Bethlehem because they're going to go and check out the veracity of the news. They want to make sure that what the angel said was true. So they went. He says they heard it off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. How was the baby? Lying in a manger, just like the angel told them. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. So they went to check out the veracity of the news. They found the baby just like the angels told them, verse 12 and verse 16. And then they shared the news. And that news that they were sharing caused people to be amazed, according to the text. When you look at verse 17, look what happens. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Because you know how it is. When you get some good news, you want to share that with other people if it is truly good news. I mean, don't you want others to know about, hey, you know, this is happening to me. It's like, rejoice with me. So they told them that they had this vision of angels. I mean, they told people, and people just like, wow, you know, amazed. Some translations say they wonder about what the shepherds said. You know, you saw a vision of angels, and that's why you're here today? You came to check out baby Jesus? Yeah, man, it's amazing. We were there minding our own business with the sheep, and boom, there was a lie, and then he just told us that, and that's why we're here. Where's the baby? You know, it's almost like and they were sharing the news, because if it is truly good news, you share. But I love, because Luke takes a turn right here, talking about the shepherds, but then he said, Mary. How did she respond to that? I love that, because now the shepherds come and said all the things about this baby. Gabriel, the angel, told you so much about this baby. And look at verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's almost like she just hiding all these things in her heart. Like, wow, there's so much information about this baby Jesus. She was treasuring all those things. All that people were saying about Jesus. Imagine, it's still a lot of information for this young woman, young mother now. And then the shepherds, it says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen, which were just as they were told. They went to check it out. They spread the news. They told the people about what happened. They went home praising God. That's another word for worshiping God. Glorifying for all the things that they witnessed. To see and hear you being a witness. So all the things they witnessed about this child. Amazing. And that's the story of how the birth of Jesus was announced to shepherds in the field. But they just did not keep the information to themselves. They decided to share that with other people. Because like I say, if it's truly good news, you want other people to know. If you truly believe that he's the Savior, you want other people to know. The baby in a manger whom the shepherds went to see will become the Savior of the world. But we need to understand something, because it says, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. It's for all the people. It's not just going to be for Jewish people. This news is going to be for the whole world. And Angela was saying at the beginning, you know, baby Jesus doesn't save anybody. In fact, if you read the story, Jesus had to be protected by a king that wanted to kill him when he was born, when he was about to. And Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt to rescue this baby because this mad king wanted to kill him. So baby Jesus, you know, like there are some religious, some groups out there, and you're one of those. I mean, just hear me out before you stone me. Just hear me out. Just find out, like, based on the scripture, that baby Jesus, that baby became a man. As a baby, he's not the Savior. How did Jesus become the Savior? When he died for your sins and mine. That's when he became. So, yes, the Savior has been born to you. It's already the prophecy that 33 years from that moment, Jesus will be suspended between heaven and earth on a cross, saving mankind from their sins. So, like I said, the baby, he became a man. And he was a great teacher and, you know, the greatest. But as a baby, he will not save. Like, there are people that they have this baby Jesus and they pray to that. Like, I just say, like, find me in the Bible when people even pray to baby Jesus cannot do anything to you. But that baby Jesus became a man and then became the Savior. That's what the prophet said. And so, this news, it will be for everyone. The Savior is here. That's what the news is. He's born already. Somebody like, oh man, when he becomes a man, like, here it is. It's going to happen what the prophecy already said. In Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph, when he's born, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save. He will save his people from their sins. A savior is born. What's a savior? You can say it's a rescuer, somebody who delivers from some, you know, firefighters, they save people from fires and things like somebody was going to go into the train and you happen to pull that person, you become that savior. You save the life of that individual. You rescue that individual from danger. That's what a savior is. And he says, I bring you good news of great joy. This news is going to be joyous for all people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. Why a savior? Have you ever wondered why you and I need a savior? Why do we need a savior? Let me tell you why we need a savior, because we have a sin problem. In our society, we try to cure the symptoms of this same problem we have. You know, like sometimes we want to pass like laws about gun controls and things. And yes, hear me out. Those are things great. But I would say people don't kill each other with guns. They would do it with bats and knives. Because we have a same problem. This is in our nature. How do I know that? Let me give you an example. Today when you get out here, sin might come and just like, You know, it's like it doesn't take long for sin just to pop out of our system. Somebody just cut you off while you were driving. It's like, why do you think you act like that, by the way? Have you ever wondered? Because we have a sin problem in our society. It's almost like you brought me up the wrong way. It's like, I just want to, you know, I always tell you never had to teach a kid how to throw a tantrum or to get mad, do you? But you had to teach them how to be nice to the brother, be nice to the sister, because they're just like, By the way, parents, that we didn't realize that comes in the package. That child is prompt to get mad at you. And later on say, I hate you. You know, that's the sin. It's in our nature. The Bible calls that our sinful nature. And we don't realize that we are born into a sinful world. And there's shootings out there. You know, somebody can just walk in here and shoot us all. Why is that? What caused that person to shoot somebody? People say, oh, he has mental things. All these things that we have in our society. The root of that is called sin. And sin, the word sin means we miss the mark. God already said, like, you know, we violate God's standard. We go against God. That's what sin is. We disobey his commands. I always tell people, you know, I've been preaching for more than 20 years. I always tell people, if we, in any nation, we just obey the 10 commandments, just the 10, the world will be a better place. If we just did those 10, do not kill, do not commit adultery. I mean, do not lust over your neighbor's property. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, but he got a better gift than mine. It's like, it's in our nature. We have a sin problem. And another thing, since we have a sin problem, you and I cannot get rid of it. Try not to get angry ever. Try not to do some of the, you've been addicted to some of the things. Like sometimes you say, I'm going to try my best. And you can't. You fail miserably because it's like we cannot get rid of it ourselves. We need somebody to come and rescue us. And show us the way because we can't rescue ourselves from this thing that we call sin. You know, it's affecting our society. We see it every day. All you got to do is turn on the news. This kid just murdered his mom and dad. Why? What causes that? Unless a Satan just got into his head. It's like, I mean, and we got Christmas celebration. Mom, we're not talking to Uncle Tommy. I mean, we have all this animosity going on. And you wonder why? Because we have a sin problem. We are in need of a Savior to come and rescue us and show us a better light, a better way. That's why you and I need a Savior. Because we cannot free ourselves from the penalty of sin. It is in our DNA, like I said. Because the moment you and I are born into this sinful world, we're prone to sin. I always said, it takes a lot of work to be grateful, to be loving to people. You don't have to work to be hateful. You don't have to work to be, but to show kindness, you definitely like, man, this is hard to be kind to one another. Because kindness, loving, good things, good qualities don't come naturally. The other ones are right there. And just like, it just takes a little button to push that and boom, it comes out. The sin nature in our DNA. You and I are in prison. But the Bible says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. Even Christian people, as we become followers of Jesus doesn't mean that sin is going to get out of our system. We still, you know, we all fall short. We all fail God. But sometimes we got to, even in our Lord's Prayer, the Lord taught us, say, forgive us our sins. Why is that? Because, I mean, we just did it. You know, we just had this bad thought about that person before we on the way here. Or maybe you're thinking about that person right now. It's just like, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We have a sin problem, and we have to be able to admit that. The first thing in resolving a problem is recognizing that there's one. You cannot solve any problem if you think there's not a problem. The first thing in recognizing or finding the solution for a problem is realizing that we have a problem. And we got to see how we can fix that. So there's a problem we call sin. And that's why we have a Savior that came. We're imprisoned by it. This conflict has been around for ages. We were born into the sinful world and feel the effect daily of it. We become victims of sin, and sometimes we are the cause that we may, you know, somebody else is victim to our choices. I mean, what would cause you to go speed up through a red light and now you kill somebody? I mean, we feel the effect daily of this thing that we call sin, and you and I cannot free ourselves. We try in our, you know, and perhaps you want to do some meditations. People try to so many things. They want to do a buffet of all the religions. Like maybe I get a little bit of New Age thinking, and maybe I can just create this plate that will be suitable to me. And then still, you cannot, because only one Savior can rescue you. And that Savior is Christ Jesus, the Lord, to rescue you from sin and the penalty of sin. Like I say, it's been affecting our world ever since that we decided to go against God. Sin makes us enemy of God, and then we deserve His wrath, His judgment. The Bible says we all sinful individuals, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know what it means? That we cannot even measure up to God's standard. It's like we all violate it. Whether we're a Christian or not, we all fall short. That's why we need a Savior. Somebody else to go. A Savior is somebody who goes between us. You know, the Bible says that the Savior will reconcile you and I. What it means, if we need reconciliation, it's because there's a problem. You guys are not talking to each other, so the Savior becomes a bridge. I get you, and I get you. I be the mediator. Now, let's be at peace. That's what Jesus did for you and I. Because sin will separate us from God. It makes us enemy of God. If you're God's enemy, you're in trouble. I don't want to, you know, you're placing yourself on the wrong side of God. That's not smart to do, by the way. Because, you know, He's God and we're not. So sin will separate. It makes us enemy of God. Colossians 1:21 talks about that. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And then the following verse says, but now you're being reconciled by the Savior. You see, reconciliation took place at the cross. That's where that baby became a man Jesus died. And then brought reconciliation, made you friends with God, made you and God to be in good terms. Before Jesus, it's almost like God cannot look at me, and He cannot look at you without Jesus, because all He sees is like sinful individual. He sees the sinful nature tarnished. Both because of Jesus, He sees you holy, like you being wiped clean. You're starting over, new slate. It's almost like He sees like these people are sanctified. They're set apart because of Jesus. That's why you and I need a Savior, because we cannot save ourselves from this thing, from this thing that we call sin. Romans 5:10, it says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. My friends, the greatest news ever for people is that through Jesus, you and I can be saved and forgiven from our sins. Like Louis said, past, present, and future. I mean, if that's not good news, I don't know what else will be. Because of Jesus, you can be forgiven. You know, we have in our society people that they don't know what forgiveness is, because they have not even learned how to forgive themselves. And I got news for you. There's somebody who can teach you how to forgive if you haven't learned that. And you are forgiven. Forgiven means that He's not counting those sins against you. It's like, I'm not holding that against you. I let it go. I release you. You are forgiven, all because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior The one that's going to forgive your sins has been born to you. And he is Jesus. He is Christ, the Lord. God became a man in Jesus so that through dying on the cross, you and I can be forgiven. You and I can be at peace with God. I hope that you don't miss this. Because it is really through his death that you and I are made alive with Christ, forgiven. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he accomplished what he set out to do, to obtain salvation for the whole world. The greatest act of love was that on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, deserving wrath and death, Christ died for us to reconcile us, to make us new with God. With God. And the Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Because we made a transition from death into life, from darkness, the power of darkness and sin, into light. No wonder Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then his followers, he says, you are the light of the world. That's the greatest news ever. He died for us. You see, he came to save the whole world. But not everyone wants to be saved. This is a story of a man who was drowning one time. And maybe you heard the story, but you know, he was drowning and a boat came and said, hey, jump in the boat. I said, no, go. The Lord's going to save me. And, you know, just leave. And then a helicopter came. It's like, come on, climb on the ladder. No, the Lord's going to save me. And I say, he didn't want to do it. He did not want to be saved by the boat or the helicopter. Then the story said the man died, went to heaven, and then he asked the Lord, but why didn't you save me? And the Lord said, I sent you a boat and a chopper. What else do you want? God has sent us a Savior, but not everybody wants to get on that boat. He has sent us Jesus, and he's not sending a chopper. There's no more things coming. Jesus is the only one that, you know, he has sent us that, but a lot of people don't want. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I don't need a Savior. I'm a good person. I don't need a Savior. You think you are good in your standard, but you still sin. So that makes you enemy of God. Because even when you lie, you're still violating God's. I mean, we cannot measure up to God's standard. So that's why we need somebody else to be there, perfect Lamb of God, Jesus. So he sent his greatest gift. He gave it to humanity. Jesus, wrapped in a manger, lying in a manger, wrapped in cloths. That's the greatest gift that he gave to humanity, so that people, through him, can be rescued, can have life. But some people say, I don't need it. I don't need a Savior. And you see, Jesus can only save those who want to be saved. There will be a lot of people that perhaps they will not be saved because they don't want Jesus. They want God to do something else. And God doesn't have plan B. Nothing else is happening. Jesus can only save those who come to him. The Bible said, Joy Garrido read that today in John 1. He came to his own people, 1:11-12, but his own people did not receive him. Yet to those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave him the right to be made children of God. Children born of God. So you had to believe in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave. Joy also touched on that today too. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I gave you my greatest gift ever so that whoever, great news for all people, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. People think that they can GPS their way to heaven. You know, because we live in society, I mean, yeah, you find so many different routes to get to places. So don't tell me that. That's narrow-mindedness of you to tell me that Jesus is the only way. But the problem that I have, I'm not the one saying it. He did. My job is just to tell you the news. I'm like the angel. I'm just, my job is to broadcast the news. It's up to you because I don't want to be responsible when God calls you and you say, oh, nobody told me. You can say, there was a preacher named Israel. He did tell me. Because I don't, you know what I mean? Hey, the news is the Savior is here and it's only through him that you and I can enter heaven. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. My friend, you see why we need a Savior? We need Jesus to go. We got to believe in him. Surrender our lives to him so that we can be saved and forgiven. Like I said, he can only save those who believe in him. John 3 says, whoever has the Son has life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life because God's wrath remains on him. You see, the news is the Savior has been given to you. God just placed that boom on earth. It's here to rescue you. You have two choices. You either embrace it or you just like forget it. You know, when you receive a gift, what do? You either make it yours or you just place it somewhere like, oh, yeah, I got a gift. It's not going to benefit you until you open that gift. And it's like, now I see what I have. Jesus will not work for you until you make Jesus like, you know, it's like, wow, like I see now all the great things that he brings to me. And the joy that I have, the peace, all these things that Jesus would promise to those who are his. Now, what should you do? I think you, like the shepherds, should go find out whether Jesus is the Savior or not. Don't believe what I'm saying. Like, I'm just broadcasting the news. The shepherds got the news. They say, let us go to Bethlehem and find out. If you don't think Jesus is the Savior, you still have to have proof why he's not. And if you believe, find out, because there's plenty of evidence out there that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Not just the Jewish Messiah, but the Savior of the world. And, you know, find out. Go investigate. Go try to prove us wrong, like what we're telling you. Go find out. There's evidence out there. Because I guarantee you, once you find out, you're going to find Jesus. There's evidence of people who were atheists, who did not believe in Jesus, and they begin to find out. You say, I'm going to disprove Christianity. It's a whole bunch of baloney. Guess what happened? By the research, they found Jesus, and they came with the conclusion that he has to be the Savior of the world. I mean, that's how powerful he is. Find out whether he's, I mean, you know, because again, you know, our eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. Your eternity, where you're going to spend life, eternity, either with God or apart from God, it's going to boil down to Jesus, because he said, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then the next verse says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you believe in him, you are already saved. But if you do not believe in him, you stand condemned already. And that's what the scripture says. Man, when I read that, I'm thinking like, I better do something with Jesus because I don't want to be on the other side of the team. How would you respond to this marvelous news? Jesus is the greatest gift God has given to you. Peter said, salvation is found in no one else. In Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. If you're here today and you're still struggling with Jesus, you don't really think he's the Savior, I encourage you, find out, do the research, because Jesus will be the Savior whether you like it or not. Jesus is still going to be the Savior, and you know, I mean, even our calendar changed when he was born. There was B.C. and then A.D. Why? I mean, that just the baby, and things began to change, and everything around Jesus, people cannot disprove that he existed. And all the claims, all the prophecies that he fulfilled, we still have, the one that says that he will reign the house of David in a kingdom. Do you realize that one day you will have a democracy? It will be a monarchy. We're looking forward to a kingdom. I mean, that when he establishes his kingdom, there's so many things about Jesus that's being fulfilled and still pending, coming soon. What side of the spectrum are you? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Or if he's not, I hope that you realize that you, my friends, you need the Savior. You need Jesus. Going to church is a wonderful thing, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is giving you life, believing in Jesus, that he's the Savior, because you recognize, Lord, I cannot save myself. I'm a sinful individual. Thank you that you love me this much to send me your greatest gift. And since I received that gift, I got to open it and make it mine. And then I'm going to benefit from that gift. Jesus, I mean, you've been hearing about Jesus a lot of times. But until you make Jesus yours, you embrace him, you believe in him, he won't be able to save you. But he came to save you. But if you don't want him, he goes like this. Okay, I wait for you. So make sure that, you know, remember the angel. Rejoice. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. What are you going to do with him?